Beyond human consciousness, what is it like to be a bat? Famously asked Thomas Nagel in 1974 in the Philosophical Review. It may sound like a silly question, but it has profound implications. We quite literally make sense of the world through our touch, sight, hearing, smell, and taste. Our sense of space in particular is governed in a way that is very different from a bat. Bats use echolocation, a phenomenon we understand very well in theory but can't really imagine. What is it like indeed by asking this question? Nagel asks Foster to make the distinction between subjective and objective concepts, between the outside world and the inside world, between our perception and reality. Asking what it's like to be a bat is wondering about the nature of consciousness. It is one of my long-term ambitions to write a much longer essay about what science calls the hard problem of consciousness, but for now I would like to explore a tangential concept which I discovered through Dr. Derek Tracy, a senior lecturer at the Institute of Psychiatry, Psychology and Neuroscience of King's College London. Consciousness from animals to humans. 3.5 billion years of the evolution of nervous systems, and here we are, human being with a human brain. What did it take together? How can we differentiate between the complexity of our consciousness and the apparently simpler perception of the world other animals display? According to Dr. Derek Tracy, living organisms have various degrees of mentalization. The ability to understand the mental state of oneself or others. First order of mentalization, I exist. Many organisms are not aware of their own existence. We can assume a bacteria doesn't have this level of awareness, but take a more complex organism such as a spider. It doesn't go much further than this simple awareness, but it knows it exists. It detects vibration in its web, decide whether to attack and eat the prey. I used quotation mark because this automatic behavior probably doesn't involve a lot of decision making as we usually mean it. Second order of mentalization. You exist and are different from me. Take a mouse, a cat, or a dog. They know they exist, but they also aware you exist. They can tell the difference between an inner object and another living animal. For some animals within the second order of mentalization, they will ever recognize you over time. Third order of mentalization, I know you know I exist. This is what scientists call theory of mind, an ability which is incidentally often disturbed in people with an autism spectrum disorder, where a dog or a cat will recognize you and know that you exist as a separate living entity. They don't have the ability to project themselves into your mind. Theory of mind and the third order of mentalization are about being able to imagine that another entity will think differently from you. There is a lot of controversy around the presence of theory of mind in animals, but some scientists think that great apes are able to project themselves in such a way. For order of mentalization, you know, I know, you know I exist. Yes, this is starting to get quite complex. Dr. Derek Tracy used lyrics from song by One Direction to illustrate this one. You know, I know, you know, I will remember, you know, and work backward. First, I remember you, first order of mentalization. Then, you know, I remember you, second order, I know, you know, I will remember you, which is the third order of mentalization, theory of mind, and finally, you know, I know, you know, ooh, I will remember you, fourth order of mentalization. Some scientists think Neanderthal was capable of fourth order of mentalization, and smart children also display this level of mentalization. fifth order of mentalization, metacognition. This is where Homo sapiens is, as far as we know, different from any other animal on Earth. No, we are not going to add another line to the One Direction song. That would be quite tedious. The first level of mentalization, metacognition, is thinking about thinking. It's an awareness of thought itself. It's quite complex and beautiful. Fifth level of mentalization is when you stop living in the moment. It's thinking about the past, worrying about the future, asking where your dad has gone, if the world will end, if your children will be fine tomorrow, and in many years from now, metacognition is what gave birth to culture, art, science, philosophy, and religion. From a neuroscience standpoint, it's interesting to know that Neanderthal, despite their bigger brain, probably lived much more in the moment. The part of the brain that was much more developed was the occipital cortex, which gave them a much better vision than ours. A theory is that being from the now European part of the world where the nights were longer, it allowed them to hunt when it was dark, whereas Homo sapiens from sunny Africa never needed to develop a better night vision. Our brain is overall smaller, but our prefrontal cortex, the thinking part of the brain, is much bigger. As I heard Dr. Derek Tracy say during a lecture, Neanderthals were big in the wrong place. Now, a question you may be asking yourself is, why stop at 5 level of mentalization? If it feels arbitrary, it's because it is. There is absolutely no reason whatever for these degrees of mentalization to stop at the Homo sapiens level. There is no reason for our level of consciousness to be the highest level of consciousness beyond human consciousness. It is impossible for a spider to imagine the concept of a dog. It is impossible for a dog to project itself into the mind of a smart human infant. It is impossible for a chimpanzee to even grasp some of the concepts we often think about, the meaning of the life, the vastness of the cosmos. As Dr. Derek Tracy said, a goldfish doesn't know it is in bowl. A dog cannot know that other organisms can think differently to it. There is a hard, impossible line between each order of mentalization. If we accept the fact that every time there is a step up, lower orders can't in conceptualize it, then we need to consider the logical conclusion. If an entity with a sixth or higher order of mentalization was trying to communicate with us, we would not be able to understand it. This is very different from the traditional worry of a language barrier, as you see in the amazing movie Arrival. This would mean the inherent, unchangeable inability to even become aware a higher order entity is trying to make contact. To come back to more practical issue, a surprisingly high number of artists and innovators suffer from psychosis. Shine on You Crazy Diamond by Syd Barrett, who was the lead singer of Pink Floyd and developed psychosis, can be interpreted as his experience dealing with what is considered a disorder by modern science. Nobel Prize laureate Jung Nas spent several years at a psychiatric hospital being treated for paranoid schizophrenia. When you think about your favorite artist, what do you like? We tend to enjoy the work of artists and innovators because they tell us something new about the world, something we wouldn't have been able to conceptualize ourselves. Maybe these artists, innovators, and people suffering from psychosis who tend to overperceive the world are closer than us to the sixth level of mentalization.